Praise God. All right, you ready for the Word of God here today? Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to call this message today, Resisting the Spirit of Fear. Resisting the Spirit of Fear. Last week, we started talking about how good can you think. And last week, we started talking about how important it is for us to have control over our thought life. Yeah, the Bible says over there in Proverbs 23, in verse 7, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so will he be, or so is he, right? Meaning that you will go the way of the thoughts you permit in your head. All right, now all of us will have thoughts that we didn't put there. You know, all of us will have thoughts that are crazy, that are bad, that are evil, right? That will just shock and astound you. Never, never forget this. Get this right off the top of the service today. You will have thoughts in your head that your heart will detest. Isn't that true? I mean, don't you have thoughts that come in into here, but down here where the born-again nature of God is, you know on the inside that those thoughts are wrong. And that's what we have to do. We have to make sure our spirit governs our life and not our thought life governing our life. Amen. And last week we started talking about, the Bible says over there in Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious or be fretful or be worried for nothing. There is nothing on this planet that is worthy of your worry. He says, don't you dare even humor the idea and bestow that kind of honor, so to speak, on those things that they would deserve that much of your attention. Why would we put our attention on the thing that's trying to tear us down? He says, put the attention on the thing that's going to build you up, that's going to take you higher and take you over. Yeah, amen. That's why the Bible says, my son, attend unto my words, incline your ear unto my saying. Don't let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. So shall they, the word of God, the words that God speaks to us, so they shall be life unto those that find them, health to all of our flesh. So why would you give attention to the trial? That's exactly what it is trying to get and to seek. Your problems are just trying to seek your attention. There is a nonstop battle in life of what is going to have your attention.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And whatever has your attention has you.
Yeah, that's right.
And you will never go higher than what you attend to in your mind. Come on now. Praise the Lord. And we saw over there in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of a good report, think on these things. Think on these things. Right? It says, whatever is a good report, think on. And that's why we said, how good can you think? God gave you an imagination for good. And God's saying, if you can think good, you can have good. Yeah, you know, and that's why God doesn't blame you if you want to think good, because the devil is going to constantly come and try to tell you how sick you are. He's going to come and tell you how you're going to die young, and he's going to hurt your kids, and you're going to go without, or you're going to lose your house, how you're going to lose your job, how you're not going to find a job, how you're not going to find a spouse, and all the things the devil's going to tell you. And the Bible says, make sure you meditate on the things that are true.
That's right.
Telling us that the things that we tend to worry about are lies. When the devil comes at you and tells you he's going to put sickness on your body, and the way he does that maybe you know, you'll feel a pain in your body or you'll get symptoms, and people start thinking, well, what if this is that disease? What if it's this? What if it's that? Those thoughts are from the devil. They're an attack on your thought life to get you thinking, well, what if? Have you ever been sitting there, thoughts bombard your head? Within 5 minutes, you see yourself in the casket, see your kids without a parent, see yourself alone in life, or see your spouse alone in life, all those scenarios that run through your mind. Have you ever been there before? Yeah, what is that? That's not God. That's the devil putting those things, attacking you. And what are they? They're lies. Because the Bible says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations or scenarios in your mind, casting them down, right? those things that exalt themselves over the knowledge of God. So those thoughts are trying to get over the truth of God, meaning that they must be a lie. And so we learned how refreshing that is last week. When the devil tells you those things, you know, hey, that's not the truth. That's the opposite of the truth. So when the devil tries to say he's going to do this or he's going to do that, well, actually, the opposite is true.
That's right.
You know, no, I'm not going to lose my job, or no, I'm not going to go without, or glory to God. So we talked about thinking good, and God does not accuse you if you want to think good in this life. You know, glory to God. And this week, we're going to stay along, you know, that same idea of controlling our thought life. All right, we're going to talk about resisting the spirit of fear, okay? Because remember this, I've said this 100 times. Remember, the fear of the something is worse than the something, okay? All right, the moment you are in fear, you are in a place that God cannot reach you. All right, you put yourself in a place where God can, fear is the enemy's power to isolate you from God's help. I hear people all the time. I hear people say to me, they email me or they write to me or whatever, and they'll say, Pastor, I'm scared of this happening. And I think, there's the problem. The thing happening is not the issue. It's a spirit of fear that has them. And things are not going to change until the spirit of fear is dealt with in their life. So many times people want healing. But see, and they believe God for healing, and they confess scriptures, but they don't realize that they are in fear. And sometimes people don't have a healing issue. Sometimes people don't have a financial issue. What they first have is a fear issue. And if we can take care of the fear issue, then we can take care of the healing issue or the financial issue or whatever else it is. All right? So we have to learn to resist the spirit of fear, because it is the enemy's plan to get you out of the plan of God, get you out of the blessing of God. If you're in fear, you're outside the blessing. Now let's talk about this. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7 says this, for God has not given us. Now we need to know the things that God has given us and know the things that God has not given us. Because if he gave it to you, you can have it. And if he didn't give it to you, then you don't have to take it. So I want to know what God gave me. He gave me salvation. He gave me the Holy Ghost. He gave me the prosperity of God. He gave me peace. He gave me joy. He gave me provision and all my needs met. So I can have that. I can have strength. I can have joy. I can have it freely and abundantly. Okay? All right, but if God didn't give it to me, then I don't have to take it. Right? Verse 7, for God has not given us the what? Spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Everyone say sound mind.
Sound mind.
Yeah, that's what we're after. Because when you have a sound mind, you're going to live the way God wants you to live. You're going to live above and beyond this world that's fearful and worried and stressed and all these things, all right? It says, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. So if you're in fear, God didn't give it to you. God never makes you afraid. God does not work with fear. And a lot of times when people read the word fear in connection to God in the Bible, that word fear means reverence. Holy reverence of God. It doesn't mean, the Bible says that since we've received the blood of Jesus, we stand before him with complete confidence. We don't fear him, you know, like we're scared what he might do, something bad. The Bible says the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. He is good all the time. Every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, in whom is no shadow, neither variableness of turning.
Right.
Says he is good. Everything that comes from God is good and perfect.
That's right.
God does not, the Bible says over there in 1 John 4, right around the 18th verse, it says, perfect love casts out fear.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
Good.
Imagine if you were never afraid ever again.
Yeah. Right.
What would you have if you were never afraid ever again? You'd have heaven on earth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine if you were never afraid again of getting sick. What if you were never afraid again of being without? What if you were never afraid? No, seriously, consider that for a moment. That's what God has in store for you. And it's not just when you get to heaven. It's right here on this earth. Say, well, I can't help sometimes. My emotions might kick up. Listen, just because your emotions kick up, just because a feeling of fear comes on you, doesn't mean you have to take that and accept it. You need to identify it immediately that that's not from God, that's not mine, and you deal with it on the spot before that fear runs amok in your life. I see Christians all the time. Oh, I'm afraid that this might happen. And they say it so casually. It's almost like a figure of speech. We've been trained by worry warts, you know? Well, I'm just scared every time I go out, and they say it so casually. I'm like, well, and I hear it in their conversation. I say, stop right there, because I love you. And if I don't stop you and correct you, get that out of your vocabulary. Yeah, praise the Lord. The Bible says, I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. Right? Amen. For he has said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. I will not be afraid. Come on now. Amen. All right, let's get into this. For he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Notice what the opposite of power is. Fear. Notice the difference between fear and power. As fear goes in, power goes out. All right? Have you ever seen a scale? You know what I mean? You put something on one side and, something lighter might be on the other side. Of course, one goes in, one side of it goes down, the other goes up. That's how it is with fear and power. Okay? As fear goes out, power comes in. The power of God is in correlation to the amount of fear that you accept in your life, that you allow in your life. Come on, get a hold of this, somebody. You know what I mean? The moment you allow fear in your life, you are allowing the power of God to drain away from you. They are polar opposites, okay? Come on now, praise the Lord. Why does that matter? Because the power of God is what sustains you. It is what maintains you. The power of God is what gets you healed, keeps you healed. The power of God is what gets you blessed and keeps you blessed. Remember when Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea and the power of God parted those waters and 2 million people had to walk through there? How many of you know that took some serious time? And that water didn't just stay back for a second, and you can't run 2 million people across there in a matter of 5 minutes. The power of God not only parted the water, but it kept it back. Yeah. So the power of God is how we receive the blessing of God, and it also maintains the blessing of God. Okay? Power is what you need that touches you. The power of God touches your mind, it touches your body, right? It heals your body, it restores the soul, the mind, amen? Right. You need the power of God. Yes. So this is why I want to put into you, the next time fear starts to come onto you, if you don't learn how to resist it, right. It is there to tap the power of God to move it away from you. Fear comes in, power goes away. Remember over in Mark chapter 4, when Jesus was on the boat in the storm. Remember how the boat was sinking. Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. And they said, Master, we're going to die. Don't you care that we are about to perish? And Jesus stood up. And what did he do? He said, Peace, be still. He took care of the storm. Obviously, God wasn't in the storm, was he? Jesus would not be rebuking God. You know what I mean? So people that, God sent Hurricane Katrina. No, he didn't. Anyway. That's free, no charge. So anyway, then what's the first thing that Jesus did? He said, Peace be still. The storm stopped, and he turned to the disciples, and he said, Where's your faith? Why are you afraid? He was not okay with his disciples being afraid. I just naturally think about that. Well, Jesus, I mean, the boat was sinking. The waves were huge. The wind was strong. They had a lot of natural reasons, but notice none of it would have been justified by Jesus. He said, why were you afraid? Where was your faith? I told you back on shore that we were going to the other side. And the only reason that you would be afraid is that you didn't believe what I said. Fear and faith are complete opposites. If you're afraid, it's because you don't trust God.
You're right. Come on. Yeah, that's it.
He said, where is your faith? Jesus was not okay.
Right.
People said, well, you got to understand, it's only natural. I mean, the doctor told me this was in my body. Of course I'm going to be afraid. You better get rid of that right now. You better get rid of that right now, because if the doctor did tell you there was something in your body, you don't need anything less of the power of God. You need more of the power of God. The power of God is going to be your help.
Yes.
And the first thing, again, the fear of the something is worse than the something.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we know tests and trials come to people even of faith. But what the devil is after, the devil isn't after trying to destroy your body as much as he wants you to put down faith. The Bible says over there, 1 Peter chapter 5, right, in verse 8, says, know this, your adversary, the devil, walks and stalks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9, whom resist steadfast with faith. The devil does. He's not after your money. He's not after trying to just destroy your body. He would rather you be afraid. Because he knows, just like we know, that God, you know, heals the body. That, you know, the power of God can take care of that. You know, so those things are completely subject to change by the power of God, right? But when somebody is afraid of those things, now they're in a place where they're helpless. And now when a Christian is fearful, the devil gets what he ultimately wants. He wants us to lay down our faith. Because when we lay down our faith, we are laying down the power to destroy him.
Right.
Faith, the Bible says over there in James 4:7, it says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Right? Faith is submitting yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Do you realize that you are a greater, more powerful being than Satan himself? Do you realize that you're the kings of the earth? Do you realize that the devil is terrified of you? The Bible says, literally, another translation or a way to say that, Brother Hagin talked about this, said that one translation says, and the devil will flee from you as in terror.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah. He runs from you. Why? Because you're the one that has faith. He is terrified of faith.
Yes.
Glory to God. Yeah. All right. I'm still just preaching on verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power. So therefore, I'm going to resist fear because I want power working on my behalf. Yeah. Now notice it says this, and love. So now here we get another opposite of fear. The opposite of fear is love. Almost people say, well, that doesn't make sense. Hold your place here. Go over to 1 John. Glory to God. I'm going to explain a verse that a lot of people don't understand. Go to 1 John 4:18. Aren't you glad? I'm going to teach you today how to resist fear. Because you know what fear feels like. You know it's easy to understand when fear is coming against you. Isn't it? I don't think I need to teach you what fear feels like. All right. But just because you feel fear doesn't make you afraid. Your body and your emotions, right? You can feel the cold air coming out of these ducts, but that doesn't make you an air conditioner. You can feel the effects of something without being the something. All right? All right. Look at 1 John 4:18. It says this. It says, there is no fear in love. But perfect love cast out fear because fear has torment. Isn't that true? That's the devil's plan, to torment you with fear. And if you're tormented with fear, you can't receive the power of God. All right? If you are in fear, you can't be in faith. Therefore, you cannot resist Satan and his plan. Do you see how it all starts with fear?
That's right.
Yeah. Let's keep reading here. Verse 18. It says, he that fears or is in fear is not made perfect in love. Ouch. Whoa. But Pastor, I was afraid. Then you're not walking in the perfect love of God. Now, let me explain this verse. Because so many people, they teach it from the aspect of that if you walk in love, meaning if you treat people right, then fear will just leave you. That's not what it's talking about here. It's not talking about the love you have shown others. It is talking about the love that God showed you.
Yes.
God's love is perfect love. God's love for you casts out fear. What does that mean? That when you have a revelation of how much God loves you, if you have a revelation of what he was willing to give to get you, then you will understand that he is also willing to protect you. He's also willing to heal you. He's also willing to provide for you. He's also willing to do whatever it takes to care for you. And you will only be without fear when you understand how loved you are. And when that's why the Bible says, he that is in fear is not made perfect in love, or they have a lacking revelation of how much they're loved by God. So when you are afraid, you don't know how much God loves you.
Very good.
Your understanding of God's love is lacking if you're afraid. I'm afraid of what they're going to tell me. I'm afraid of what they're going to, you know, find in my children. I'm afraid of what, you know, the job I might lose. I'm afraid. You know, I'm nervous that this might happen. I'm scared that that might be the case. Come on now.
Come on.
Wake up, some of you.
Come on.
You need this. Because look at this. There's no fear in love because love casts out fear because fear has torment. The love of God will spare you from every form of torment in this earth.
That's right. Amen.
God loves me. Therefore, I'm not afraid of what new hoogaboogie flu they find out there. I don't care what strain of some new this and that is going around. It don't matter. I know that I'm loved. I know that I'm favored. I know that he surrounds me with favor like a shield. He loves me. I'm the apple of his eye. He sacrificed his son to get me.
Right?
And you know I quote it all the time. Romans 8:32, if he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also in him freely give you all things? And now it goes on to say over there in Romans 8:37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors. Because we're so great and mighty in ourselves. Oh, wait, did I misquote the verse, Pastor Brad? Thank you for correcting me. You know. Oh, no, wait. Did I say it wrong? It says, we are more than conquerors in him that loved us.
That's right. Yes.
I'm a conqueror over sin and sickness and disease and worry and poverty and depression and lack and all these things in this world because I'm loved.
That's right. Glory to God.
Don't you wish God loved you as much as he loves me? Some of you that are new are like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he just said that. I'm saying that because I want you to say that for yourself. I want you to get such a revelation of how loved you are by God that you just get a revelation that you are his favorite because you are.
That's right. Amen.
God has the ability to look at a billion of his kids and give them each individual attention like they're the only ones on this earth.
Yes.
I'm loved. Now, his love doesn't mean I'll never go through a trial. His love means that I just don't have to face anything with torment. I don't have to face it with fear. And because I keep fear out, I keep my answer and the power working for me.
That's it.
I'm not afraid, therefore the power is working.
Good.
All right? Yeah. He that fears or allows fear into his life is not made perfect in the knowledge of God's love.
That's
maybe, you know, Pastor Brad, maybe I'll get crying up here just like you did. No, because seriously, no, I say that, you know, joking, because me and Pastor Brad, we have a little bit of a reputation to get crying a little bit in the pulpit. My wife, who's down at the ladies' conference down in Indiana today, you know, she always says, man, you never cry. And then she'll see me get in the pulpit and, you know, start choking up and everything. She's like, why can't you do that any other time? I say, because I'm not a wuss. And I'm joking. Sensitive men are a good thing. Yeah. Glory to God. You know, so when you start realizing what God gave for you, oh my goodness, like I said, you know, I'm trying to be funny here so I don't start crying, but oh my goodness, the father of two boys. And to think that God looked at his perfect son and he had to hand, he didn't hand Jesus to perfect ones.
Right.
He had to hand his son to criminals. Yeah. Oh, and he knew that he was going to watch his son descend into hell.
Yes.
Oh my goodness, it's unthinkable. It's unimaginable. When Bill Weiss is here and he talks about these things, you are going to get a whole new revelation of the love and the grace and the goodness of God that it took to spare you from eternal judgment. And I know that if he did that, then he's not withholding anything else. The Bible says over there in Psalm 84:11, it says, the Lord is a sun and a shield. Grace and glory shall he give, and no good thing shall he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Yeah, yeah. Praise the Lord. No good thing God will withhold.
Right.
No good thing. No good thing. Glory to God.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. So that's why we get the revelation of his love. You just walk out of here and you say, well, I don't feel that. Who cares? Stop trying to feel stuff. That's your problem. You're always trying to feel. You're always trying to see. You always want some kind of sense knowledge. Forget it. God doesn't want you to feel loved. He wants you to confess and say and believe I am loved of God. I believe that he gave his son. I believe that there's nothing he won't do for me. Even when I fall short, even when I have faults, he's going to be there for me. Glory to God. Yeah. I realized this just the other day. I'm not perfect. Have you learned that yet? I tell you, you know, of course, obviously more than just the other day, but I said that to get you laughing. And you start, I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but no doubt you are more acquainted with your faults more than anybody. Oh, my goodness. And you start thinking, God uses me even when, you know, I have faults or maybe I just don't quite measure up within my own brain. Aren't you glad for his grace and goodness? You know, you can try your best. You can even do a good job. The devil's still going to accuse you in your mind. And you just like, thank you, God, that he, you know, that old song that says, he looked beyond my fault. Isn't that exactly what he did? He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Amen. So I'm trying to give you an idea. When you walk out of here today, say, man, I'm loved by God. I'm loved. And when you start realizing how loved, do you realize who's standing in your corner? Do you realize that all heaven is backing you up? Do you realize that Jesus said in Matthew 18, he says, whatsoever you bind on this earth will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on this earth will be loosed in heaven. He said, I'm going to back you up. What you say, what you confess, and what you declare, heaven will be standing ready. Glory to God. And yet, most of the body of Christ is out there trembling, weak and scared, and the whole time we're the ones with the power over the enemy.
That's right.
Amen. All right, go back to 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he gave us power. So the power will work if I keep fear out of my life. He gave me a spirit of power and love. Love, his love for me.
That's right. Yes.
His love for me, which motivates my love for people. Don't you dare be a recipient of this grace without loving somebody else. No. I'll tell you what, these people that say they're saved and they treat people like garbage, they don't know what salvation is until you walk in the love of God. Of course, all of us have missed it and walked out of love and things. But I'll tell you what, we should have a goal. You want to prefer somebody else because God preferred you. All right? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, power, and of love. And now look at the last part, and a sound mind. How many of you have a newer translation of the Bible that has the word self-control? Do we have anybody? Raise your hands nice and high so we can all see it. All right, several of you. All right, a newer translation of the Bible might use the terms self-control because literally in the Greek, that is the term that's written there, okay? Sound mind and self-control.
Yes.
All right. Notice, God is not going to deal with the spirit of fear for you. It's called self-control.
Yes.
It's not called God control. I have a sermon that I call soul patrol. It means patrolling your mind. You are the patrol officer of your brain.
Yes.
You are the security guard of the thoughts that run through your head.
Yes.
All right? God gave you the power to control what thoughts are permitted in your head.
That's right.
He is the people who say, I just need the peace of God. I need these thoughts to stop. God, please keep these thoughts. Listen, he can't.
Right. Yeah, yeah, come on.
Some of you just did the, you know, I can tell your theology got rocked. Do you realize God cannot permit or cannot stop bad thoughts from entering your head?
Right, that's right.
Do you know that?
Yeah. Come on.
You need to understand. Because the carnal mind and the flesh are corrupt by sin,
yes.
God, they will be tempted with sin.
Yeah.
They will be tempted with bad thoughts. The mind will encounter thoughts of fear, and God cannot prevent that from happening until you are completely restored in heaven someday.
Right.
Until then, bad thoughts will enter your head. And it makes you no less of a man or woman of God regarding the thoughts that are in your head. Just like you cannot change the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
You cannot determine whether it's going to rain, snow, or be sunny today, right?
That's right?
You can't control that. In the same way, you cannot control the thoughts that enter your head. And don't ask God to stop them because he cannot and he will not.
Come on. Yes.
He said, in order to deal with fear, he said, I'm going to give you a spirit
yes.
of power,
right.
right? The word power there is also the word authority.
Yes.
He said, I'm going to give you authority to stop that spirit of fear.
Right. Right.
He said, I'm going to give you authority, and I'm going to give you a spirit of love and revelation of what I've done for you
yes.
to deal with fear. And the second thing is that I've given you a power of self-control.
Yes.
Yeah, a sound mind.
Yes.
He said, because I can't stop the thoughts from entering your head, but I can give you the tools to
yes.
handle it.
Yes, that's good.
All right? Now, notice this. Notice in verse 7, it says, the spirit of fear.
Yes.
Fear is a spirit.
Right.
How many of you know that you are a spirit?
Yes.
How many of you know that?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Bible says that we are spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit is the real you. It's the part of you that is recreated into the image of God. It's where you're born again. Your spirit is made brand new. Your flesh is not made brand new, okay? But we also have a soul. The soul is your mind, will, intellect, and your emotions, okay? And we know we have a body. We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body.
That's right.
That's our makeup, that's our nature, okay? How many of you know that you are an individual personality? Why? Because you're a spirit. Jesus said over there in John 4:24, God is a spirit. Okay? He is an eternal being. We are also eternal beings in the fact that we aren't on the same rank of God, but we're in the same class of being in the sense that we will live forever. It's just a matter of where and how. Okay? But God is a spirit. He's an individual personality founded in the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we know that any others, angels are spirits.
Sure.
Are they not ministering spirits
yes,
sent forth? The Bible says,
yeah.
Hebrews 1:14. So an angel is a spirit, and they each have their own personality.
Yeah.
Do they not, right? The Bible mentions a few angels, Michael, Gabriel, right? They were individual personalities. So now, what do you think about the spirit of fear? Yeah. The spirit of fear is not just some abstract idea or force. When the Bible calls fear a spirit, it is an individual personality. It is a demon with the purpose of trying to get you afraid. And when you feel that come on your soul and on your body, okay, that doesn't mean you are a spirit of fear. It means that that a spirit of fear is in your presence trying to put that on you. And you need to know. See, the Bible is pulling back the veil, letting us see what's going on in the realm of the spirit so you can know what's going on and you can handle it. The spirit of fear, it's not called the feeling of fear. It's not called the emotion of fear. It's called the spirit of fear. Because Satan and his demonic hosts has literal demons that are sent out with the sole purpose of trying to put fear on people.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now we have to, until we understand that and know how to deal with the spirit behind fear. You know what I mean? People say, I'm afraid. I need to go make myself feel better. So I'm going to go talk to somebody that I care about, or I'm going to talk to someone, you know, about my problem, or I'm going to go rest. I'm going to read a book, watch TV. You know, I just need to calm down. What they're doing is that they're trying to find a remedy for the feeling of fear. Yeah, but they didn't deal with the spirit behind it. You have to know what to do with that spirit. See, when something comes against me and the devil starts telling me and all of a sudden I feel that fear trying to get on me, you know, I understand that there's a spirit behind that. And I don't just try to make myself feel better. I don't just try to find someone that can talk to me and calm me down and remedy me naturally. That's what most people do. They just seek a way to feel better. You need to know how to handle it in the spirit. And not just make the feeling go away.
That's right.
All right? Amen.
Amen.
You need to know this and you need to understand it. Now, he says in verse 7, God didn't give you the spirit of fear. So just because you feel the effects of fear doesn't mean that that's in your spirit.
Right. Amen.
There is no fear in your spiritual makeup.
Amen.
There is no fear in here where the spirit of God dwells.
Right.
So if there's fear coming against you, it's coming against this thing,
yes.
Your mind, and it's coming against this thing, the body.
Yes, right.
Amen.
That's right.
So if you can know how to deal with the thought of fear, when the spirit tries to give you thoughts,
yes.
Right, the spirit of fear tries to put those thoughts on you. If you know how to recognize it, identify it, and handle it,
yes.
All right, let me show you how to do this.
Amen.
We went here last week. I'm going to go here again. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Amen. God didn't give me the spirit of fear. He gave me power, authority, His love, and a sound, disciplined self-control. It is not God's job to deal with fear in my life.
Right. That's right.
It is my job to deal with fear. God is not going to do anything about the devil until he binds him up. The angel comes down, binds him up, and throws him into the bottomless pit.
Right. Yeah.
Not going to do a thing. Jesus said on the cross, he said, it is finished. God's already done everything about the devil he's ever going to do until he throws him into the lake of fire forever. Do you understand that? If you are waiting for God to do something about the spirit of fear, if you're waiting for God to do something about demons, if you're waiting for God to do something about the devil, you're going to be waiting for a long time. And until then, the devil's going to eat your lunch. Because you have to understand that it is you he deals with. Jesus already whooped him. There's no more contest between the devil and Jesus.
That's right.
Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus crippled him and took and stripped him of all of his power.
Yes.
And now all Satan has now is the power of suggestion in your thought life.
That's it.
Trying to help you.
Good.
Trying to help you. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's go over there. We're going to read a few verses. Get some understanding on things here. Because some people have some really interesting takes on what these scriptures are saying. Yeah, come on. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everyone say, strongholds. This is the only scripture in the New Testament that tells us to pull down strongholds. Okay? So obviously there must be strongholds that exist, and there must be a way to tear them down. Okay? The Bible is instructing us that that might be true. Now, a lot of people, they take this scripture and they say, strongholds are demonic personalities in the heavens that we have to war in tongues and pray and shout them down to this earth. Hogwash, garbage. The Bible doesn't say anything along that line. And people that try to scream at the devil, people that try to pull them down, cast demons into the pit, and all this stuff that they, all these doctrines try to say, how come Jesus couldn't cast them into the pit? The devil shouted out to Jesus. They said, have you come to torment us before the time? The devils know that there is a time when Jesus will send them to there, but he won't do that yet. Demons have permission to be on earth, and they have permission to be in the heavenlies until they are brought down by Christ. We will not be pulling them down out of the heavens, under the earth, and all that stuff. Read the Bible in context. I'm sorry to be, some of you, I know I'm treading on your sacred doctrines, and you can sit there and shout at the devil all you want, scream and yell and war in tongues, and I can tell you what, ain't nothing going to happen. And he's going to make you a mess in your mind. Watch. Watch. Look at the Bible. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. There's no imaginations up there in the skies. The imaginations are in your head, not in the air. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. Where do thoughts take place? In your mind. Where do imaginations take place? In your mind. What are strongholds then? They are patterns of wrong thinking that turn into patterns of wrong living. That's absolutely right. Yeah. It's just a word. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm not trying to disagree or not agree with somebody. I'm just preaching the word. And I know a lot of Pentecostal doctrine and charismatic doctrine teaches that stuff. And we're a charismatic Pentecostal church. And it's going against the grain. I don't care. I'm not trying to fit a grain. I'm trying to fit the word. Glory to God. All right? Casting down imaginations. The word imaginations here in the Greek means scenarios or pictures in your mind. Pictures in your mind. Okay? And again, we said this last week. It says every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So notice there's pictures in your mind that aren't true. They're not true. Why? They're going against the knowledge of God. God's word is always true. And so the devil can put imaginations in your mind that's a complete lie. Yeah. And people thought, well, I had the thought. Well, I saw it in my head. Well, yeah, you can see things that are a complete lie. Okay? And the Bible tells us what to do with wrong imaginations. You have to ask yourself, do I want to live what I saw in my brain? Do I want to participate in those thoughts? Never forget this. My pastor said it. I have remembered it ever since. He said, thoughts are seeds seeking harvest in your life. Isn't that good? I wish I thought of that. Give credit where credit's due. Thoughts are seeds seeking harvest in your life. And when a thought is planted in your head, you have to ask yourself, remember, you're the patrolman.
Sure. Oh, yes.
Do I want this to grow here?
Right.
Yeah. Thoughts come into my head. I'm not letting you grow here.
Right.
I'm not letting you stay.
Right.
I'm not going to let that scenario come to pass.
Right.
People say, well, I saw it. It's just going to happen. Or what if? And what if? What if? What if? Listen, you better stop listening to lies in your head. You better stop being governed by this noggin up here and get down into your spirit where you can see something better with the eye of faith.
Amen.
A stronghold is that you get a pattern of thought that becomes your way of life. What happens when someone decides to commit adultery on their spouse? Do they just wake up one day and say, today is the day I am going to start a road of infidelity? No. What happened is that somewhere back in the past, a flaming arrow went ripping through their mind, and they saw themselves, or they thought of themselves in a way of pursuing somebody else, you know, having a relationship with somebody else. What was that? It came into their brain first in the form of a thought. And that thought was allowed to take root. And then once it started to take root, they started seeing it in their mind, in planning it in their mind. And then one day they acted it out and committed adultery in this realm.
Right?
Because you can commit adultery in your heart too if you're not careful. But they committed adultery in this realm, and now they moved into a full-blown stronghold.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. How did somebody become addicted to alcohol? Did they just wake up one day and say, today I'm beginning a lifelong road to alcoholism? No. A thought came to them. They acted on that thought. The thought grew into a harvest. They started drinking more and more to try to be accepted or have friends or whatever. And now that lifestyle of addiction is a full-blown stronghold in their life. Until they learn to think different, they're not going to live different. They have to come to a point and say, drinking is wrong. I am not going to have any part of it anymore. I'm going to cast that thought down.
Right.
And the devil's going to come to them, have a drink, have a drink, have a drink, have a drink, have a drink. And you better be at least as resilient as he is.
Oh, yes.
I cast that thought down, have a drink. I cast that thought down, have a drink. I cast that thought down, have a drink. I do not take that thought.
Right.
You might have to say it under your breath or however you know, wherever you are. You know, you might have to say it 100 times a day. But that's what Soul Patrol does. Yeah, resisting the spirit of fear. Fear comes to you first in the form of a thought. It comes to you first in the form of a feeling. Oh my goodness. No fear is okay. Now listen, if you don't like roller coasters, just don't go on roller coasters. I know, my wife would be waving the hanky because I try to force her, and I definitely will be forcing. There we go. But I'll definitely, you know, I'll be forcing my kids on roller coasters, whether they like it or not. And I've forced a few of you here on some. One of my favorite memories was with Kristen, who was waving the hanky a second ago. At Cedar Point, we did a youth group trip, and Kristen was leading our junior youth at the time, and you know, they have, of course, all the world's biggest roller coasters there, and me being the pastor and her being a department leader, of course, I had the authority, and I was, of course, kidding, but serious. Like, Kristen, you're going on this roller coaster. It's just a warm-up. Who cares that 5 years ago it was the world's biggest roller coaster? It's nothing now. Come on, you got to go. Ah, Kristen, you're going on it. You're going on it. Of course, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, and she's trying to be, like, honorable. Like, come on, you're going to love it. And so we get on, a bunch of us are on this roller coaster. Kristen's sitting, I think, in the seat right behind me, and we're going up the big hill. You know, you can see Lake Erie and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh, Kristen, you see how high we are up here? Oh, my. Oh, this thing is bigger than I thought it was going to be. Oh, my goodness. I look back at Kristen, and with a big smile on her face, tears are rolling down. I know, I'm making myself look real bad. And she's like, I don't know, she's like rebuking the spirit of fear or something in her seat. And I have to admit, I enjoyed it. But I'm saying, though, I mean, funny stories aside, if you don't like something that just you don't like, just don't go on it, okay? I mean, I'm not talking about that stuff like, well, Pat, oh my goodness, I hear people that take things that I say to the extreme. Pastors say that we shouldn't be afraid of anything, so if I don't like that roller coaster, I got to go on it or else I'm in the spirit of fear. No, just don't go on the roller coaster. People say, I just don't like certain foods. I don't like clams. I don't like you know, ocean boogers and things, you know. I don't like scallops and these things. But Pastor Tim said I shouldn't be afraid of anything. That doesn't mean you have to eat food you don't want to eat. If you think it's gross, lay off. So please don't take my words to the extreme. I'm talking about in real life situations, like your job, your family, your mind, your life. Not extracurricular weird things. If you are more comfortable going 63 instead of 73, go 63. I'll go 73. You know? I'm not talking about just something you're uncomfortable with for whatever reason, according to your preference or personality. I'm talking about when the fear tries to get on you about, you know, what a doctor said to you, or a pain in your body, or a bill that arrives unexpected, or buying, something you need, a car breaks down, you need school clothes, doesn't look to be enough money. I'm talking about don't get fearful over those things. All right, did I make that clear? All right. So now here's what you do. The Bible says you cast them down, right, and you take the thought captive.
Yes.
Fear is going to first approach you with a thought.
Right.
And you say, I am not going to allow that thought to grow here.
Right.
You are in control of the soil of your brain. God's not going to tend to it for you. Jesus is not going to tend to it for you. The pastor isn't going to tend to it for you. You are in control of the soil in your brain and what is allowed to get planted there. Okay? The thought's going to come to you. What if my kid got, my kid has a symptom. My kid has a fever. Or my kid has this or my kid has that. What if it's this? What if it's that? The pediatrician might even tell you, well, you know, we got to make sure it's not this. We got to make sure it's not asthma. We got to make sure it's not leukemia. And they start throwing around these big terms and things like that. And I tell you, as soon as you hear that, the devil starts hitting your brain. What if it is? What if you're that faith person at church? You know, that you go through that and you lose this. What if your family suffers a loss and all of a sudden you start seeing pictures in your head of you in the casket or your kid, you know, or something like that, and all of that just comes at you in the form of fear. You stand up right there.
Right. Yes.
And I'm not saying with a doctor in the room, you all of a sudden just jump to your feet and say, I rebuke you, spirit of fear. Doctors are good, by the way. Doctors are good.
Yes.
Can we please get that right in the faith community?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know, the Word of Faith movement has been awesome, but there's been some side baggage, and one of the things is that people have gotten along the way that doctors and medicine are bad. Stop that.
Yeah.
Go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Go see a doctor.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm a person of faith. Glory to God. I don't ever think of medicine. I would never. Well, then why does God speak good of it?
Yeah.
Right? A merry heart does good like medicine. Right? Luke is called the good physician. Jesus said in Matthew, 9:12, he said, those that be sick need a doctor.
Right, sure.
Get a doctor.
Yeah,
Jesus didn't refuse to heal the woman with the issue of blood just because she saw more doctors than anybody.
Oh, yeah.
She still got healed by the power of God. Of course, when man's ability is limited, God's ability is unlimited.
Yes.
We don't lean only on the medical field.
Right.
But can we, you know, people say, well, if I take my kid to the doctor, I'm not going to be in faith. Faith is not the absence of medicine.
Right.
Just because you were not a mighty man or woman of faith because you refused to take a vitamin or, you know, or something. Because, oh, I'm not going to take the penicillin. I'm a person of faith. Yeah, that's ridiculous. No, the Bible says that faith isn't the absence of not doing something. Faith means, can you do something with a clear conscience?
Yes, there you go.
If a doctor says, hey, this Zithromax will help you and drive that infection out of your body, you know,
yeah.
And if you're clear in your conscience, take the medicine.
Sure.
Now, for some reason, if something on the inside of you is like, no, don't take it, well, then follow your conscience. Right. But faith isn't just because you said, no, not me. No, if your conscience is clear, there's so many times, maybe our kids were diagnosed or, had a cough or something, and a pediatrician recommended a cough syrup or something that had, some medicine in it. Right. I checked my spirit. My spirit says, yeah, it's good. It's okay. Okay? I have clarity in my conscience. Now my child is taking that in faith.
Yes.
Lord, thank you that this medicine does good to my child's body. I thank you. You bless it. And it helps my child. God is not against the medical community. And you are not a mighty force of faith because you refuse the medical community. Can we get that straight?
Yes.
We've had people think that it's wrong to, to give your kids medicine. No, you want it. You better give it to them. Because you don't know where you have the faith to carry that thing. And in the meantime, your child might suffer because you were trying to be a mighty mo of faith. I don't know why I'm talking about this. Outside, I know that it's by the Spirit of God that people do and prescribe dumb things. Because, all right, let's finish this up now. What do you do? Cast down the thought. This is how it looks like for you to deal with fear. Maybe not right when the doctor or the nurse is right in the room. Maybe not at the grocery store. Maybe not when you're, teaching class in school or whatever. When you have the time or when you are by yourself or whatever, you take on that spirit of fear. You just say this. This is what you do. Are you ready? This is how it looks. This is how it sounds. You say, spirit of fear, I take authority over you in Jesus' name. And I do not take that thought. I do not permit that thought. And I resist you in Jesus' name. Now go. You tell it that you resist. You don't accept. And tell it to leave. You resist. You don't accept. And you tell it to go. And no fear is ever okay. No fear. Even in things in your recreation. I know this, that sometimes I'm just going to confess, it's hunting season, and I'm creeping out in the woods in the dark, Oh, man. One time I was out in the woods, and I was trying to roost a turkey. You listen to him at night. And, you sit there until dark, and I don't ever turn on any lights or anything. You want to know that they're there. And I'm walking out of the woods, and I'm just kind of creeping out, and a screech owl in the tree right over my head. I'm just walking out, and all of a sudden, probably 8 feet above my head, rah! just screeches. I'm ready to fight. I'm thinking something's going to get me. The other night, I was out walking in the woods, and it was like midnight. Yes, I know. I'm out enjoying some. I'm a late nighter. I'm out in the woods, And, I didn't have a really good light or anything. I'm just kind of out there just enjoying myself, okay? And I'm out walking around, and all of a sudden I'm sitting on this field, and I'm overlooking this huge field going down a hill, and right behind me, maybe to that wall, is a tree line, a tree line just of where the woods start. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, right behind me, this animal, probably 25 yards away, all of a sudden I hear, you know, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden you just feel that just rush up through your body, like, I want to take off running, and I want to give into that fear, but I'm not going to let fear decide my actions, okay? People will let fear decide their actions, and I purposely... I'm not saying you got to do this. I'm saying that I just purposely, I stood right there. I said, I am not going to allow fear to tell me to run. Now, if it was the wise and obvious thing to do to run, you better believe I'd be running. I'm using that as a humorous illustration. Do not let fear try to move your actions. Have you ever done that before? I remember when our children were first born and... I'll tell you, the spirit of fear was just after me all the time to check my baby and, is he okay in the crib? I heard something about, you got to be careful about what you hear in the media. I heard something on, what do they call that, SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome for infant death syndrome. And, I was like up in the night, like 3 or 4 times, going in there, checking on Timothy, put my hand on his chest. Is he still breathing? Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you, here I was, a faith pastor, doing that. And all of a sudden, I realized fear is causing me to act. Yeah, people will do that. People will get afraid of having their needs met, and they'll go add, you know, jobs that God never called them to have, add hours to their work schedule. They're moving in fear. Come on now. So anyway, when that spirit of fear comes to you, I resist you. I tell you to go. I don't accept you. You are not permitted in my head. You are not permitted in my life. I probably could have just said that at the beginning and we could have had a 5-minute service. You see? Because when fear comes in, power goes out. If you're afraid, you don't know how much God loves you. Okay? And fear will torment your life. Okay? And you will lose a sound mind if you don't have self-control.
That's right.
The job is not God's to take care of your brain. The God is not, or it's not Jesus' job to watch what's going on in your brain. It is your job to make sure that the thoughts and meditations of your heart are pleasing and acceptable to Him. Amen. Did you get some help out of this? Praise the Lord. It'll save your life if you'll listen. It'll save your life if you listen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and praise you today.